Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We've got some great European-styled game music lined up for you now, so have a listen and hope you enjoy. Okay, to start things off, I'm going to play a track that I intended to play last week. It is a music track from a game that actually references a whole load of other games, and in turn that makes this music track a bit of a remix. But regardless, I'm just going to play it now and have a listen and hope you enjoy. The name of the track is called Sanctuary Falls from Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. We'll be right back. That is from Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. The game is actually a kind of a sequel to Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, and of course now they added the Transformed. Basically, it's like a kart racing, Sega kart racing game with all the classic Sega characters involved. So you've got, of course, Sonic, you've got the guys from Crazy Taxi involved, you've got even that monkey from Samba de Amiga and Jet Set Radio and all this sort of like great cool Sega characters, you know, even Ryo Hazuki from Shenmue makes an appearance. And essentially they're all getting together, they're all racing, they're doing cool vehicles, and in the sequel Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transforms, also their vehicles can transform into both boats and aircraft, so they can fly around the place. The stages are nearly all based off of games that the characters are from, so it's kind of like a whole mega crossover thing with all these cool areas and such. And as you've heard right there, the game also features a lot of remixed music as well. Now, looking at the credits for this song, as you know, I am very stringent about my credits, but this is kind of a big thing here. What you just heard there was Sanctuary Falls. Of course, it plays, you know, with the Sky Sanctuary, you know, themed level in Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. But also, it's a remix of not one, but two songs here. So let's try to go through it all. For a start, the original, one of the songs it's based off of is Sky Sanctuary, which is from Sonic and Knuckles, the original Mega Drive game, which was developed by Sonic Team. And the composers there are one or more of Howard Drossen, Tohiku Uwabu, Sachio Ogawa, Yoshirika Kishima, Masaru Setsumaru, Tatsuyuki Maeda, Tonori Sueda, Masayuki Negoe, and Jin Sui, which are all the composers of the soundtrack for Sonic and Knuckles. Of course, it's also based on Back in Time, which was actually from Sonic Or, which is a Saturn Sonic racing game. So as you can see, this is not Sonic's first go at a racing game, which was developed by Sonic Team and Traveller Tales. In that case, the music track was composed by Richard Jacks and was originally sung by TJ Davis, but apparently she's not involved in this current song. So then what happened is the people who actually took those songs and remixed them were Adusi Studios, and that composed of Richard Jacks again, so you can see why it was using Back in Time again, Pete Jones, Edward Blakey, and Mark Sylvan. So that's quite a lot of people to be involved in one track, which seems to span at least three different games just in its history, but I suppose that's what happens when you take a lot of inspiration for old things. But yep, those are all the people involved in this track called Sky Sanctuary Work It Out Sanctuary Falls from Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. And fun game where you race and go through a lot of great Sega history and relive a lot of cool Sega games. Alright, I think there's enough Sega nostalgia for now, although don't worry, this is this show, there's always going to be more in the future, you don't need to worry about that. But I think I'm going to instead throw you with another nice little track which I kind of like. This is from a game that is called Just Cause 2. Yes, as one internet comedian pointed out, the game is utterly hilarious because you can point to it as saying, you know, oh, is it you're doing something just cause or just because or whatever and blah, 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 don't worry about it. The point is, you are basically this guy called Rico and you're working for an agency and you're going to an island from Panao, and apparently the dictator has turned against the being friendly to the Americans. I cannot imagine why. But actually, it's suspected, as opposed to any of the numerous actual reasons a dictator might suddenly start being unfriendly with the Americans, possibly due to stuff they started in the first place. Ooh, okay, I know how badly this show handles politics, so I'll just steer away from there for now. They decide that it's actually because of some evil plot and they must figure out what it is, which of course turns out to be the case, but let's not go into that right now. So essentially, Rico is going in there, and for some reason, in order to make progress, he nearly always has to just cause chaos and do a couple of missions and cause more chaos. And essentially, here's the kind of the fun part of the game. Basically, you're in a huge island nation, and I mean huge. And from pretty much the start, you can go pretty much anywhere. Of course, you can do the standard stuff. You can hijack a car and drive around, or you can like hijack a motorcycle and drive around, or you can hijack a boat and, you know, fly go around that way. Or you can go into an airport, hijack the equivalent of a Boeing 747, and then fly around like a complete maniac over gigantic mountains, across desertscapes, you know, across built-up skyscraper cities in a bunch of islands, across archipelagos and marshes. And let me tell you, this game has a huge diversity of landscapes. You've got lush rainforests, you've got basic high ice-capped peaks. You've got great expanses of ocean. You've got, like, it's just really, really, you've got mesas and everything. And, you know, you've got, and it's all dotted with settlements and villages and military bases and all this sort of stuff. And, I mean, like, right from the start, you can figure, hey, let's just go crazy and, like, go all about the place. And you can do that. And what's more, it's not you can just go around. What's more is that you've got a way of quickly traveling around even if you don't have a vehicle nearby. You have a grappling hook, and when you shoot it, you suddenly pull yourself towards things. And at any time you want, you can press the A button, and suddenly a parachute will appear out of nowhere, and so suddenly you can go gliding across. So you can combine the two. Maybe you're in the desert, and there's a little, like, tree over there. So you shoot your grappling hook at the tree, you go flying towards it, and then just before you hit it, you throw out your parachute, and suddenly go up into the sky and start gliding across the desert. And it's just beautiful how you just do that and stuff. And you can do a lot of other cool stuff with your grappling hook as well, such as, like, you know, you can, like, tether enemies to, like, gas canisters and shoot the gas canister and it shoots off and takes the enemy, or a lot of combat things or pull them off buildings and such. But I mean, boy, this is a gigantic expansive area. I mean, you can just wander around right from the start, and I think that's what the game intends you to do, because every so often you'll hit a settlement and you basically get bonus points for destroying all these, like, military installations. So that's kind of what you do, and then the more these chaos points you get, you'll unlock missions that'll help you complete the game. So there's that it. But I mean, like, it's a standard open world game in the sense that you can go nearly every place and that there are missions and there's a whole load of villages, but it is kind of amazing once you start to first figure out the scope of this game and where you can go and everything. And it is a lot of fun, especially when you do something like capture a jet fighter or get a helicopter, or else you're in a military base and you're having trouble destroying the stuff, so you get into a helicopter and start shooting missiles down at the own base while trying to avoid all the, you know, surface to air missile things and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, Just Cause 2, it's a pretty impressive game. The hook mechanics, which I've really only, like, touched on, but are pretty kind of fun in and of itself for the things you can do. And the sort of stunts you can do with vehicles is also pretty cool as well, and it's pretty memorable. So I'm going to hit you with the main theme of the game. It is just the Just Cause main 3. It was composed by Mats Lundgren and Anders Ehlin, and it is from Just Cause 2 by Avalanche Studios, which is a Swedish studio as well. And just to clear this up, the OST was originally actually available for free download on the site. It isn't anymore, unfortunately, but it was released under the name Just Cause 2 Music to Blow Shit Up By. There you go. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. We'll be right back. And that was the main theme to Just Cause 2. It was by Mats Lugrudin and Anders Helin from Just Cause 2 by Avalanche Studios. And as you can, it's a fun game and with an expansive area, and I like it. Alright, so I think we'll move on to the last track. And it's actually funny, I've noticed we seem to have a theme for European game studios right now. The first thing we had was, while it was based on a lot of games that are made largely in Japan, was actually developed by Sumo Digital, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Sumo Digital is, of course, based in England, or specifically Sheffield. Meanwhile, Just Cause 2, that was developed by Avalanche Studios, which was in Sweden, or Stockholm specifically. And now we're going to move on to the last track, which was developed by 4A Games in Ukraine. So, what track are we going to move on to now? Well, it's the tracks from Metro Last Light, and boy. I talked about Metro before in this series, or Metro 2033. It's based on a book. It's set in Moscow after the apocalypse, or at least, actually, to be honest, I've been looking. Apparently, apocalypse is just meant to be where it happens or everything. Anyway, the point is, it's basically after World War III with a whole load of nuclear missiles. And basically, you're in the role of a guy who goes around the subways of Moscow trying to learn about these alien threats and hearing all people say how bad it is that the world has been nuked. And, you know, saying, oh, what have we done? We are terrible, terrible people for having nuked our own homeland, which, you know, kind of stands to reason. I talked about the game on the show before, and a couple of things I really liked about it was, for a start, it seemed to take a very humanist approach. I mean, you're even going up against Nazis at one stage, and even then they seem to be like actual human beings who are in this position for whatever reason, but they're doing the best they can. Let's go against communisms, and at one point there's a war between one faction and the other, and you're kind of like straddling the line between them, wondering about why people are throwing themselves in to just get killed when there's so few people already. That's in the first game. I love the first game because at the end you also get to, if you really, really make the effort, you can actually try to improve things for everyone. The second game, I don't think quite hits it as much. I mean, for instance, one of the earliest things you hit and find out about the Nazis is that they have a concentration camp. Yeah, seriously. Look, I don't know. It just seemed a little blatant to me. I mean, would you really have to? I mean, if you're pushed on the end of resources, holding camps takes a lot of resources. Not that I'd know. I've never really managed any sort of prison camps or concentration camps or anything before, so I wouldn't know. But I'd imagine it would take up a lot of resources and attention. So I don't really see what exactly they're doing when they're stretched to the very last limit. And there's just a few other things. It doesn't seem quite as concerned about, you know, human aspects as it is. And you know, it seems to be a bit more about, okay, shoot the enemy sort of thing and evil plots and stuff, which I just wasn't completely sold on. No, but it was still pretty good. And I think part of the reason is also where the game takes off. I told you that I got the good ending in the first game. I spent so much effort getting that ending, and then I start the second game. Well, actually, I knew about it before, but it turns out they start from the bad ending, which is now the canonical one. So basically, everything I worked for in the first game has been kind of nullified. I mean, I guess I kind of did quickly restart the end of the first game and then get the bad ending as well, just to test out. So I suppose technically I still worked up for it, but you know, it's like, okay, so we did the best we could to have a bright new future, and now it turns out you're going to give us a different ending. All right. Which is a bit more disappointing. So I went along with that, and I suppose part of it, I guess, is about redemption and forgiveness. And yet, once again, you can try to work to have that better ending, although it doesn't happen in quite the same way, but it's still kind of good. Boy, I'm rambling a lot. Metro Last Light. You basically are still the same character. You're still making your way through the metro. You've basically found out that there's one creature alive from the entire race that you apparently exterminated at the end of the last game, because you got the bad ending and you didn't decide that maybe killing off a bunch of species of creatures that you didn't quite understand mightn't actually be the best option. And then essentially, as you're going around, you hear a lot of plots and threads about some evil plot about taking over the metro and killing a whole load of people, I think, by one arbitrary side. To be honest, the plot is actually a little more confusing this time. There's a bit more intrigue and things and everything, and I think I said it before, but first person shooter isn't always the best medium for discussing these things, because normally I think I get a little too short-term thinking and think about what to shoot next rather than what exactly this strain of dialogue is saying now and how it connects to what I'm doing right now. It's just as well the game does have a fair few bit of text annotations that kind of summarize things for you. But the basic gist is, yes, you are trying to basically allay an evil plot and trying to actually bring peace to the metro, even though it seems, you know, completely hopeless, and you're hoping this alien creature will help you in some way, shape, or form. There's still a lot of cool stuff. You still have to conserve your ammo, although I tried the highest difficulty and I still seem to be okay at it. You can still buy extra weapons. You've still got that pneumatic gun, so like one thing you shoot at these spikes that hit the enemies, then you can pick up the spikes after them and shoot them at more enemies, so you actually conserve ammo, which was a mechanic I always liked, but I still managed to find enough ammo so I didn't always need to do that. And it's still got a very kind of like, you know, very World War, after the World War, desecrated buildings, destroyed cities, atmosphere on the surface, you can't actually breathe during that whole sort of atmosphere, and that's pretty cool too. So it's still a good game. I don't know whether it's a little tricky whether I still think I kind of preferred the first one, but I'm not sure if it was because that was the first game and really got me in and that was all novel at the time, or whether, you know, there are just subtle things about the second one I'm not keen on. The second one may not up the ante huge amount, and I mean it is actually understandable because at least there was some on at the time. The publisher actually went bankrupt. THQ were publishing the game and they went bankrupt while this game was being made, but thankfully Deep Silver took over and managed to make sure the game got released, so that's good. But yeah, I mean, I still highly recommend the first game, and if you like the first game, I don't really see any reason why you'd avoid the second game unless you're extremely dedicated to the pristine experience. But I think I'll leave it like that. I'm going to leave you right now with main theme of Metro Last Light. It was composed by Alexey Omelchuk. And like I said, this was Metro 2033. It was actually based on a book by Dmitry Glushkovy. But it wasn't, the first game was based on a book, which is also called Metro 2033. And actually that book ends up getting posters in the game, which I think is very weird. So apparently this game exists in a universe where there was a fictional book released several years ago which described exactly what's happening right now. You'd think some people would actually grab one copy of the book and read ahead to find out what happens next, but there you go. The sequel isn't based on any book by Dmitry, but there you go. And I think I'll leave it at that. So this is David Collins with BitNote, leaving you with the main theme of Metro Last Light by 4A Games, which was composed by Alexey Omelchuk. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Feel free to... We've got a Facebook page now at BitNote, and so do a search there. We're also available on Twitter at BitNoteFM, so you can follow us there. And remember, at BitNoteFM.com is where you can listen to all the episodes, or just... I've even set up a playlist there, so you can just go down to the bottom of the playlist, click play, and listen to every single BitNote episode in one go, which should take, I don't know, about 2 days, I think, if you want to listen to it on a straight stretch. So maybe you don't want to do it. But the point is that you've always got that option, and I'm all about... The great thing about video games is they give you options. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Remember to check us out online and have a listen, and hope you enjoy. ¶¶